This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And the Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. People always ask him what he's doing these days. It's Phil Simms, two-time Super Bowl champion, and joins us every Wednesday around 8 a.m. Phil, good morning!
Well, I could maybe hear what you're saying if that damn music would stop. So,
This is great.
There you go.
What's that?
I said you're in a good mood this morning, it sounds like.
I'm always in a good mood, Boomer. Especially when I get a chance to talk to you, because it makes, you know, it just makes me feel good.
You're just an old, angry peckerhead.
That was Eddie playing a drop. That was not me saying that live.
No. Hey, you know what? Listen, that line was really it was in vogue back when I was growing up. I haven't heard that in a long, long time, so that was pretty good. Gio, how you doing, man? Are you recovered from your sideline stint down there during the game
absolutely.
On Sunday?
Absolutely. It's too bad we didn't get a great game, but what an experience down there.
What'd you think? Tell me what you thought when you saw the hitting, the players, and more importantly, I want to hear what you saw about the Giants' offensive line.
Oh my God! Yeah. So the thing, there was a couple of plays, and remember when Jalen Hyatt was hurt towards the end of the game? So
right. The
violence of that play, and guys trying to go up and get the ball, and then landing at the speed that they were landing, and him landing on the football, like that is just something you do not experience. And you can't feel, you can't understand unless you're right there. But I also, you know, the thing with the Giants offensive line that was just, it was fascinating to me, and I said it on the broadcast, was, you know, you had a Zudu struggling so much, and like he didn't even take a breather on the bench. Like he was working on his technique the entire time. And he had two other guys who weren't in the game, in Stinney and Neal, that were helping him. So they were talking about his footwork. They were bull rushing him. They were doing all this stuff. I'm like, this guy's going to be exhausted because he's doing all the stuff in the game on the sideline. But also every Giant would pick him up. But, man, I mean, that guy had no shot out there. And if they don't get that whole thing figured out, the Giants' offense is not going to have any shot for the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, no, they get to go against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Yes, that's a great place to go when you're having tackle trouble with those pass rushers on the outside. I mean, it's really tough. And you know what, you said it, they were all saying, okay, keep your confidence up. And even in his interviews, he said, yeah, I got to stay confident, all these things. I go, wow, self-doubt is a terrible thing. So, boy, Giants are in a tough spot. But, you know, I'll put it this way, Boomer, you talked about it. The Eagles, they had two starters out, too. And it just kind of shows you where the teams are at. Their starters were out, and they still executed their offense the way they wanted to. So, tough game.
Yeah, I felt as soon as the Eagles got up two touchdowns, I'm like, there's just no way the Giants are going to be able to get back in this game. They throw the touchdown pass. It's get calls back because of OPI, and that was probably a ticky-tack call. But it's like they can't score at home, and I think Giant fans are frustrated, and they want a new direction for this team. And this weekend going to, as you said, Pittsburgh with Alex Highsmith now healthy again, and he's going to be going against that right, that left tackle side. And it's not going to be easy for Brian Daboll and those guys to call plays. Let me ask you, since we got the Steelers on the line here, the performance of the Jets versus the Steelers, then they were up, 15-6 at one point in time. Aaron throws a...
Right before half.
Yeah, yes. And throws a really bad interception, and it kind of gets Russell Wilson going in the second half, because Russell Wilson was, I thought, was brutal in the first half.
Oh, he started off awful. And it just, look, Russell Wilson, been to Super Bowls, you know, had great success, you know, the, oh my gosh, what are they called? The moon ball. Oh, if I have to hear about the moon ball one more time, I'm going to smack myself. But he was nervous. It showed. And then he got off the hook with that interception. And you got to admit, Beanie Bishop, that interception right before half, I mean, that's one in about 1,000. To turn the other way, make the catch, you know, it was a great play. but it did turn the game around. And I think I heard Aaron Rodgers say this: we weren't that emotional or something like that. And he's right. But the Steelers, they were extremely emotional playing the game. My gosh, running the ball hard. They're two running backs. They acted like it was their last chance to ever be pro, playing pro football, the way they were running the football, the way they were running into that offense, you know, in the line. So, you know, the Jets, I it's hard to believe you say that. Oh, we weren't emotional. How could you not be emotional when you know the season is getting ready to end if we don't win a game? And they go out there kind of flat, and it shows. And the last thing, Russell Wilson. Did you see what he said to one of the coaches in the game? Hey, don't worry, I'm going to catch fire. And
he had,
you know,
confidence.
So,
give him credit for
he had some confidence. Give him a lot of credit. You know, and I thought it was the way he started and the way he finished, I give him a lot of credit, because, Boomer, come on, we know when you get in the funk throwing the football sometimes on the offensive side, it's not easy to get out of. And they did it with some good play calls, but also some good throws and catches.
The really big difference between the two teams, you have an interim coach in Jeff Ulbrich, he does not have an easy job, versus Mike Tomlin, who's got that Steeler DNA going. And you know that Mike Tomlin was talking all week about being on Sunday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. And you know exactly what he was telling his team. And his team reflected who he has and who he has become as a coach.
Absolutely. I agree with everything. I mean, Mike Tomlin, he's got it. You know, in other words, he knows what buttons to push every single week. I would love to, and I really liked it when I was doing games he was coaching, to listen to him on those Fridays and what he would say to some of the players. You know, some it was positive, but he's got that needle, and he knows how to work people. And we would hear it. And of course, in our meetings were great with him, but you would hear all these things on the practice field. And he's not a coach who just stands there and watches. He sticks his finger in everything. And I wish Jeff Ulbrich could just take his headset off and run down the side, just walk down the sideline and yell at some people or do something like that. But I know he's trying to run the defense, manage the game and everything else like that. But, you know, there are a lot of times, and I've always, almost my whole career, high school, college, everything, played for coaches who were emotional on the sideline and were telling players the truth. You better get going, or this, you know, whatever it is. And the players and all those instances, usually we would react to it and get a little better, at least. So.
You would think so. Now, three wide receivers have been traded, Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, and today we find out that DeAndre Hopkins going from the Titans to the Kansas City Chiefs. So
right.
Patrick Mahomes finally gets his top-end wide receiver, and how quickly do you think that they will be able to get in sync with one another?
Well, they should get in sync pretty quick. I mean, I hear this all the time, and, you know, you tell the receiver, here's the route, run it, don't worry, I'll get the ball to you. So it shouldn't be that difficult. And I love this all the time, and I got to get a feel for him. I mean, I don't know. Is it that difficult that we got to work together for 6 years before we really get it going? And, you know, so DeAndre Hopkins, I would think once he just gets a feel and learns the offense, he'll fit right in. He's not at the top of his career. I've watched him down in Tennessee. I'm sure he's very excited because, wow, the passing game for the Tennessee Titans is, what's the word for it? Awful. And, yeah, that's what it is. So it's a good spot for the Chiefs. It was a really good job by them just getting one more guy to solidify their football team, and they do need help on the offensive side. I will say that.
Talking to Phil Simms, the Simms Spotlight on Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Geo, you taking your balance in nature?
Yeah, I actually did this morning. Boomer witnessed
I witnessed it, and that's why he's awake and ready to rock and roll and ready to ask you a very tough question right now.
Well, before he asks, let me ask this real quick.
Yeah.
So you two, are you always partners when you play golf?
No, not yesterday.
No.
Oh, you were against each other. I like that. So you get a little animosity going, huh, and stuff like that. I like that.
Yeah. And I won.
Okay. Yeah. Yesterday was a beatdown situation, but it was a beautiful day. It was like 80 degrees, no clouds in the sky. So I just
Boomer, you shouldn't be taking your co-host and beating his butt on the golf course. I mean, come on, you were a professional athlete. How many strokes did you give him?
He got a shot a hole yesterday.
Yeah, but Boomer got a bunch of shots because we played with a scratch. We played with a zero.
We played with a plus six.
Yeah, point plus 0.6.
Oh, plus 0.6. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a plus 6. Wow. Like, it couldn't have been a plus 6.
No, no, no.
Because that would have been like Scottie Scheffler playing against
plus
us.
Plus 0.6.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, all right.
Now, all right, Gio, sorry. Go ahead. Let me hear what you got.
All right. So back to the Jets for a second. To me, they seem like they're rotten. It's not going to happen. 2-5. Boomer believes that there's a real good chance that they get to 6-5 by the bye, you know, win these next two games and get to, or three games, and get back to 500. So I don't see it just because I haven't seen it. So just projecting forward from what you've seen from this team so far, when they get to that bye, can you see them going on a run and being 6-5, or is it just too difficult?
I would be surprised, you know, just to win four in a row in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to be in that right frame of mind and have the emotional part that you want and players healthy, whatever it is. And the Jets are not what I would call a super team. And you know, they could be down, and one of these bad teams are playing. Even this weekend, the Patriots could be really up because they're excited about their quarterback who can actually throw the ball down the field and make big plays for their offense, which you have to worry about. And, you know, if they don't win this weekend, of course, I would just say it's over.
Oh,
I don't want to hear it anymore. Oh, my gosh, please. I don't want to turn the TV on here about the Jets if they lose this weekend. Because the Patriots really don't have one part of their team that they can rely on to say, well, if this part plays well, we will win. And I will say the big thing is Drake May is a guy that can make plays down the field and all that, but the Jets are the better football team. And I don't know if you heard this. Bill Belichick talked about Jerod Mayo, said our defense is soft. And Bill Belichick goes, well, it was the best part of the team last year, and it's the same players, so I don't know why they're soft or something like that.
Well, he knows why they're soft because he's doing TV and he's not coaching on the sideline. taking a shot at Jerod Mayo, I guess.
No doubt about it. I just thought, okay, there you go. He's not holding back. So, but yeah, so it would be tough, Gio, but it's got to start this weekend. Don't look farther than that.
So I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about teams that possibly could turn their seasons around. Now, it looks like Tua's going to play for the Dolphins. I'm just wondering, Bengals, Dolphins, Jets, one of those three teams turn their season around and make it to the playoffs?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, I would not even hesitate. I'll take the Bengals in that, you know, because, one, they've got the defense back. They got some players that were hurt. They're playing better. We saw that when they played the Giants. And they have that guy, you know. They got the wide receiving group, and they got the quarterback that can play under any circumstances and get it done. So the Bengals would be the team I would definitely pick.
Yeah, you're talking about Bill Belichick and some of the things he's been saying in the media. I've really, really enjoyed it, and I know you know Bill very well. So what's your take on the beginning of his media career so far?
Oh, my gosh. I think it's been really, really good. And, you know, the thing about him is he's got a personality, and he can be funny, which every week I watch him, and it seems like he's getting more open and sane. But the other thing, I just sit there and listen to him. I go, I'll get my pen ready because I'm going to steal some stuff he says, you know, because he's dead on with almost every point he makes about every team, situation, coach, whatever you want to know. It's really, really good. So, I think, if he does come back to coaching, I really believe the fact that he has been in the media so much will help him as a head coach next year. I do. It's just something you learn about seeing things differently because you're not in there every day, and you look from afar and you see things that you maybe didn't know before. So that'll be interesting.
You know, you can tell he's a football savant because all of this stuff is coming extemporaneously off the top of his head. You know, he's not watching tape and all that other. I can't imagine that he would be. He's got a nice.
Oh no, he's watching tape.
They're probably doing different things during the week and going pumpkin patch hunting and things of that nature. So, he's just like off the top of his head. He can just basically go down every single roster with every single coach and every single team because he is a football savant.
Yes, he really is.
All right, is he coaching somewhere next year?
I think he will. I would say this, though. Let me tell you, when I did all those games with the Patriots over the years, I would be nervous in every one of those meetings with Bill Belichick because if he asks you a question about his team or the team they're playing or anything that's happened, if you don't have the answer, he'd like literally would tune you out forever. And you know, you had to work overtime to get ready for the interview with Bill Belichick. And we had some close encounters. I said once, hey, when you played this four down defensive line once and blah, blah, blah. He looked at me and goes, we didn't play four defensive linemen ever in that game. I went, oh my God, did I make a mistake? And this went on. And finally he goes, oh, you know, Phil, you're right. We did in the third, whatever. And I was like, wow, what a relief. I mean, I truly was sweating going, I really screwed this up. But, that's working even with the TV crews. He wanted to make sure you were doing your job to come cover them and tell the truth. So last thing, but I know you guys are going to go. But you talked about assistant coaches, offensive coordinators. Boomer, you're right. Ben Johnson turned down jobs, didn't interview for some, whatever. When is a team, like Detroit would be the perfect example, going to go to the offensive coordinator? We know you want to be a head coach, but we got a great thing going here. And pay him, not like a head coach, but close to it. And I just keep waiting for that day where somebody's going to hold on to their really good offensive coordinator because they're going to pay him so much. Why would you want to go sometimes? I know you want to lead the team, but you're safe. You got the quarterback. You got everything you want to have success as a coordinator and do that. So,
that's the dream of every coach, though, a football coach, is to be a head coach in the NFL. It's a tough thing to turn down multiple years.
Yes, I understand. But when you stay in a situation that's great, which Ben Johnson did, he could have had jobs. Yep. I mean, I know that for a fact. And he turned them down for many reasons. I think, one, he knew what they had going on in Detroit. And, well, whatever he's doing, it's probably one of the top three offenses in design for the quarterback in the NFL. And, of course, his quarterback, it's real. Jared Goff, is. I heard y'all talking about it. He's not playing good. He's playing great. So. Yeah.
And I love the fact that Brian Flores is the Vikings defensive coordinator because I don't think he's going anywhere as a head coach because he sued all the owners. So it's like perfect. He can stay there for the rest
well, that's
of his
a good
career.
Point. It's a good point, but he ran up against the guy this past week that actually won the battle against him because they had the players and they had the system, and it was just enough to give Detroit a close win. But what a great game to watch. I did watch that on Monday or sometime. A lot of fun, just a lot of good play, and some really good coaching on both sides.
All right, Phil, great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thank you for having me on. Good luck.
All right, it's the great Phil Sims.
He likes that, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
That's like a Kentucky thing.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
Oh my gosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back with us. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. I just talked to Sims there, so some football this hour. You got DeAndre Hopkins going from the Titans to the Chiefs for a conditional fourth-round pick. Some other stuff of note around the league. Get Aaron Rodgers on the McAfee Show Tuesday. So we've had Rodgers talking about accountability. We've had Rodgers talking about boogers and all that stuff. Okay, fine. In terms of the rest of the season, here were a couple of different ways things can go as he was with McAfee yesterday.
The worst that could happen, we don't turn this around. And things go south, and a lot of us are, in a different stratosphere. Now, deal with that. Okay, cool. Are you going to be okay at the end of that? Yeah, I'm going to be okay. Guys are going to be okay.
And guys will be fine, even if things don't go well. But the flip side would be...
What's the best that could happen? We embrace the energy that's shifted in 2 weeks. We go out, we play free. We have fun. We enjoy each other on the field. We do the little things. We pick each other up. Celebrate
and then maybe get to 65 and have a season.
I think 4 days will determine this team's season. Sunday and Thursday, those 4 days.
Interesting.
They got to win Sunday, and if they can win against a good Houston team, not a great Houston team, but a good Houston team at home on a Thursday night. Now, Al, the season gets started because Hassan Reddick is now here. The whole team is the way it's supposed to be, and now you watch them take off.
So if they lose this week or when they win this week?
When they win this week. No, Thursday. We're all together now.
Okay. Now we're good.
Now we're good.
Okay.
Now we're good.
I got confused there because you said 4 days.
Well, Sunday and Thursday. Sunday to Thursday.
Sunday to Thursday.
So yeah. Really a week from Friday morning is when we will
we're
know
have a really
what the
feel
Jets
good
are.
Friday. That Friday will be amazing.
So after week nine, Al, that's when the season kicks in.
So wait, so if they beat the Patriots Sunday,
yes,
but lose to the Texans Thursday.
That's not going to be a good feel good Friday.
Okay.
But then they still
but
have
you never
the,
know where the Yankees are going to be at that moment in the World Series.
But also they've got winnable games on the schedule after that.
Win these two games. Win these next two games.
They're not beating the Texans.
The whole thing's going to change around.
They're not beating the Texans.
Now we're ready, Al. I know Al loves when I say this.
New York versus Houston normally don't go great.
Yeah. And the Cardinals are playing a hell of a lot better than people expected, too. You got to go out there.
They are. That is true. Interesting. Rex Ryan on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder. We played the whole feet stuff last hour. Did find it interesting, though, the way the interview did begin.
There was once a Rex Ryan quote that said, "I don't know this Channing Crowder."
Oh, hell yeah.
"I know he's all tatted up. And if I was younger, I'd handle him myself." And the next part of the quote was, "I've walked over people tougher than him to get to a fight."
Oh, hell yeah.
Coach, what did Chan do to you?
As he's sitting right there, which is kind of funny. So Rex's reaction.
No, you know what's so funny on that one? It was a classic. It's funny because later I'm like, man, I'm going to get my ass kicked by you.
So how did he handle then Crowder on the field? I thought this was cute.
As we get going, I'm like, all right, I got a little something for him. So the first play, did I not put two offensive linemen in there
in the backfield
and ran double lead at Channing? And it's like, hey, gotcha.
I thought that was kind of funny, actually, playing head games with these guys. So that was the Pivot podcast. You also got news. Chris Godwin is having surgery, so his season likely over. Todd Bowles said if they made some sort of a deep run in the playoffs, maybe he could come back.
That's a team that needs a wide receiver.
Yeah, and they said right now the thought is they'll do it from within.
How about Garrett Wilson?
We're trading Garrett Wilson now. And Mike Evans, the hamstring injury, he's going to be out a couple of weeks as well. And the Saints give Alvin Kamara a 2-year extension worth $24 million. The Knicks last night, not so great.
Tatum, challenged by Towns, draws a double team, moves to the free throw line. White finds Jaylen Brown open in the corner for three.
Dude, this is ridiculous. Wait, they swinging that ball. The Knicks don't have a chance.
And that is Celtics Radio with the call. That
we
was
outside, baby!
Okay, one of 29 threes made by the Celtics, tied an NBA record. Then they missed the rest of them trying to set the record. But
so much for wing defenders, huh?
Not much last night.
I mean, that's what Ananobi and Mikal Bridges is supposed to be doing, right?
Mikal Bridges had a weird night.
He couldn't hit a shot in the first half.
Correct.
But he's all, when guys start changing their shooting motion, man, that's just weird.
Well, he played better in the second half offensively, at least.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you have OG and you have Mikal Bridges because they have Tatum and Brown. Am I right?
And Tatum at 37 and Brown pretty good himself with 23 points. The Celtics raise the championship banner. They get game one. What does it all mean to head coach Joe Mazzulla?
We're all going to be dead soon and it really doesn't matter anymore.
So okay, there you go.
I get the sense we'll be hearing that a lot.
Keeping it real, baby.
He's keeping it real. Here was Jalen Brunson. Sure, the Celtics are familiar with one another. It's not like they have to gel together like these new pieces with the Knicks. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's an easy way out, but we still got our ass kicked.
So keeping it real right there. We still got our ass kicked. He said no excuses, he would go on to say. We need to play better. Lakers beat the T-Wolves 110-103. Now, this doesn't usually happen to Ian Eagle, which is why it's funny to me. So during the game, he's doing the game with Stan Van Gundy. And you remember the passing of Dikembe Mutombo not that long ago.
Yeah, yes.
So this does come up during the broadcast.
4-time defensive player of the year, matching Mutombo and Wallace.
Of course, the NBA world just had a tough loss with the Kimby Mutombo's passing.
NBA on TNT brought to you by the Kia Telluride X-Line. Kia, the official automotive partner of the NBA.
Jared, that almost happened to me and you on Sunday.
Did it?
Because I was going to point out Deontay Banks let Jalen Hurts go running right by him, and then you had that blue card in your hand.
I did have to read the card.
Whatever that card was, or something about watch NFL on CBS or something.
It was. Yes, it was.
Yes. I was like, I can't say it.
I mean, did I even hear him?
I don't know.
I mean, that was amazing.
I don't know why I found it so funny.
Four-time Defensive Player of the Year, matching Mutombo and Wallace.
Of course, the NBA world just had a tough loss with the Kimby Mutombo's passing.
NBA on TNT.
cut him off. Dude, he's still talking. He was going to eulogize the guy.
Yes.
And the Telluride just ran over Stan Van Gundy. The Kia Telluride.
I thought that was pretty funny. Lakers did win the game 110-103. Anthony Davis had 36 points and 16 rebounds. There is, and to his defense, as everybody knows, there's a lot going on in your headsets. So it's very possible he had no idea what Stan Van Gundy was saying. And the guy's like, hey, here, read this now, go.
That's when the director's in your ear.
Yeah.
Like, or the producer's in your ear. Hey, you got to read this right now.
And so not great timing. So it happens from time to time. What can you do? All right, baseball. We've got the World Series starting Friday night in Los Angeles between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Here's Aaron Judge, excited to go west.
I got a lot of family down there in Southern California, a lot of cousins that are down there. They're, you know, going to be coming to the game. But, you know, I always love playing at Dodger Stadium. It's electric atmosphere, you know, one of the best fields in the game. Definitely, I think a lot of guys are looking forward to it. I know even Giancarlo as well. He's talked about it. You know, it's his favorite place to play.
Just don't kick the fence again and break your foot. Here was Freeman.
That's the thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was in Los Angeles.
Yes,
sure was. Here was Freddie Freeman. He's been hobbled, as we know.
Well, there's no way that's happening again.
They also put padding on it, I think, since
did they?
I think they did since that
happened.
The
problem is it's lifted up like 6 inches off the ground. That's why. That's the problem. I don't care what it is. It's still a different step that you step up on when you're trying to run full bore to make a play.
Here was Freeman. What's your availability for Friday?
So I think with this time off, it's going to be a 100% go for me on game one, and we'll adjust off of that after game one. But I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind that I will be in the lineup for game one.
And game one will be Jack Flaherty and Garrett Cole as the starters. Nestor Cortes, hopefully being on the Yankees roster. Former Dodgers pitcher Fernando Valenzuela passing away at the age of 63. Do not know why. There was no cause of death given other than the fact that we know right before the playoffs, he asked off the broadcast team, the Spanish broadcast team, because he wasn't feeling well, and there was not an update since then. He was the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young Award winner in 1981. And the Rangers beat the Canadiens as they continue to play good hockey, now 5-0-1. Yeah, power play goal.
That Filipino, he stays healthy, man. He has been a beast thus far at the beginning of the season. And that line has been great. Man, actually, the whole team has been playing really well. So
it's a great start.
Can't be arguing about anything right now.
Nothing not to like so far. The Red Wings shut out the Islanders 1-0. Patrick Kane, the game's only goal. And the Lightning beat the Devils 8-5.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we talked about the unfortunate early passing of Fernando Valenzuela, and you know that the Dodgers are going to wear a patch on their jersey to honor him during the World Series.
Well, they should wear a patch.
They should. Yeah, I hope that they do.
He's patch wearing.
He's patch worthy.
Royalty.
Yeah, yes. He's patch worthy. So I was thinking, like, you know, the organizations in these situations, like, they have to have these discussions. Now, this is, like, Fernando Valenzuela, it's obvious. They're just like, you know, he's patchworthy, no doubt. If they don't do it for the World Series, they'll do it all next year. Maybe they do it for both. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they'll just put an F and a V, or they'll put 34, so they'll come up with something.
But, like, you know, with other guys that aren't as obvious, you know, they have to have the discussion. They're like, all right, how are we honoring this guy?
Right. So I'll give you a prime example.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, when I go, the Bengals should wear a patch. But not the Jets.
So, wow. So you think you're Bengal patch worthy?
Well, I'm in their Ring of Honor, for God's sake.
Yeah, you're probably right. But they are behind on those things, aren't they?
Yeah, but you can't be behind on a death.
But you
then
could
again,
be
I could,
there.
I could always go to Cincinnati because I'll die 15 years later there. But,
yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I try to give you an example. Like if a Nick, if a former Nick dies, if Patrick Ewing dies.
Oh, he's a patch. But that's an obvious one. But I like the borderline ones for discussion.
Is John Starks patch worthy?
Yeah, I think so. He's been around the organization a ton. Like,
who's not? Charles Oakley.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah. But, like, isn't it amazing that even in death, we're, like, ranking people? You know, it's like, it's you can't get away from judgment.
Did Anthony Mason didn't get a patch, did he?
I don't believe so, no. I don't believe so.
I think if, like, you're, like, a Hall of Famer, all pro, if you're in the Ring of Honor, then I think you're patch worthy.
So all of the guys that had their number retired for the Mets, so Doc and Darryl and Keith now, all patchworthy.
Oh, 100% patchworthy, yeah.
Did they wear, they had to wear something for Gary Carter, right?
I think they did, yeah.
Okay. But like...
You know, like if an owner dies or something like that, they're patchworthy.
Well, yeah. But like a Kevin Elster?
No.
Yeah. No. Like a Rafael Santana?
No.
Greg Jeffries?
No.
Greg Jeffries.
David Wright, yes.
Right. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Here's a good one. Beltran.
Maybe he's a Houston patch guy.
No, it would be more Kansas City than Houston.
Kansas City patch guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. What about, this would be a good one. What about Carmelo? Patchworthy?
No way. How about Jose Reyes?
No. Nope. Lindor's on his way to being a patchworthy guy.
I would think Amari Stoudemire more patchworthy than Carmelo.
Neither one of those guys are getting a patch.
Jeremy Lin.
They're not getting a patch.
They shouldn't get a patch, and they shouldn't get a patch.
Lin Sanley.
He's not getting a patch when he dies, Eddie. He's just out of control with these suggestions. Like the Yankees, that's a tough one. Like, let me give you a good example.
Well,
like
Mattingly's getting a patch.
Yeah. I would say Mattingly gets a pass, right. Patch. But like...
Now, would Aaron Boone get a patch? He's got to win a World Series.
He's got to win a World Series, yeah.
But didn't he win one as a player?
Won the...
the ALCS, but then he...
But they lost to the Marlins.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so, yeah. But he's been around a long time.
He's patch-worthy.
Aaron Boone is.
Yeah.
You think?
He's had a great home run in history and has been a manager for a long time now.
I got a good one for you. Goose Gossage.
For me, patch, for sure.
Yeah, see, like, I have a hard time discussing patches for the Yankees. Because they have so many retired numbers.
You've been around for so long.
I know, but they have so many retired numbers and everything. I'm not really sure where they stack up into the pantheon of Yankees fans.
Yeah.
I think Goose is such a great personality. David Wells.
No.
Perfect game, though.
Perfect game lit up.
Yeah, I don't know. Does Cone get one, then?
Well, David Cone's... I think she'd probably... Does he get a Met patch? Or does he get a Yankee patch? He's on Yankee games. Paul O'Neill gets a patch.
They'll just put a thing out in the bullpen for David Cone, like a little, you know, like reminder out there for him.
Call like the David Cone bullpen?
Yeah. Something like that.
Paul O'Neill gets a patch, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been around the broadcast. Just a beloved player. Bernie Williams patch?
Patch, definitely.
Cole Four patch, yeah.
Posada patch.
Posada, yep.
What about
A-Rod?
Ron Guidry?
Yeah. Louisiana Lightning, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, world champion,
How about A-Rod? He won an MVP and a World Series.
No.
What do you mean,
No. They're not giving A-Rod a patch.
He's got to get a patch.
No, that's a before-the-game moment of silence.
That's it?
That's it. That's all he's
like
getting.
Kind of like he's going away in the rain?
They can't.
Everything about him was awkward.
Of course. I mean, you know, he made that joke when they were walking around Monument Park with David Ortiz, and he said, David, you'll be in here before I am.
Right.
You didn't even play for the team. so he knows. He's not getting a patch. But there's a line, though. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
There is a distinct
line. You know what's amazing?
Like,
when I think of the New York Rangers, and I think the current iteration of their team, And since this guy has been here, I think he's been a one-time All-Star, but he's been...
Kreider's a patch guy.
He's got to be a patch guy. He's never been a captain, though.
He might get his number retired.
I mean, he's been a great Ranger since he's been here.
And if you get your number retired...
And he's actually taking less money so other players can make more money, Igor. So I'm just saying that, yeah, he's definitely a patch guy.
I gotta check the schedule for our next big giveaway. Alex Rodriguez Solitaire Night. Play solitaire alone all night long, like Alex does in the dugout.
I had a good one for you, patch worthy or not. Lenny Dykstra.
They wouldn't do it. If he had a normal post-playing career.
He died of an overdose or something like that?
No, just anything. Just like he passes of old age.
I think Backman and him, unfortunately, are just past that.
Although this ownership doesn't have any issues, I think, with the past players like the previous ownership did.
Right. But, I mean, Lenny.
That's a whole different story. Like, this ownership is very aware of what they believe is to try to do the right thing in the eyes of the Met fan. I think the other owners did, too, but not so much as Steve Cohen has done. He's tried to refit, you know, Citi Field to make it more Met-like, all that stuff.
Jacob DeGrom.
No.
Multiple Cy Youngs.
Nolan Ryan.
For the Mets?
Yo, he started with the Mets.
No way. Not for the Mets. He was a minimal impact on the
Mets.
And
one of the worst trades in the history of baseball.
Exactly.
I think DeGrom might be a patch guy.
The Grom ended weird.
It's a weird ending right now. But let's say
Seaver ended weird.
Let's say his season is old, his career's over. He goes into the Hall of Fame, and he's really would make the Hall of Fame because of what he did with the Mets up until this point. I would have to say, yeah. I mean, he's definitely a patch guy.
Matt Harvey, no,
no.
DeGrom would be the only one.
They didn't do enough.
Yeah, no, I know. But DeGrom, I mean, he was the best pitcher in baseball for a long period, a couple of years. Just a lot of injuries, the whole thing.
Daniel Murphy.
Didn't want to be here? No.
Daniel Murphy, no?
He wouldn't be a patch guy. No. Brandon Nimmo.
Well, you know, he's a core of this potential.
They love the guy.
They love the guy. And let's see how his career turns out.
Right. Yeah, then when
like
he's dead.
It's Pete Alonso.
Third all-time home runs.
That's remains to be seen here, though.
Now, if he stays here,
he's
like the Chris Kreider. If he stays here, he'd be like the Chris Kreider. But although he's been an all-star, he's been a rookie of the year, he's also won the home run hitting contest, he basically embraces all of that stuff that we all love that he embraces.
Yeah.
And if the Mets keep him, yeah, definitely a patch guy. If the Mets don't keep him, I think that's the patch line right there.
Has there been a Jet in the last 15 years?
Nick Mangold.
That's patchworthy.
Nick Mangold, the brick of Shaw.
Both those guys patchworthy?
Darrell Revis.
Revis, yeah.
Darrell Revis.
Revis, definitely. Mangold, yeah, I could probably see.
100%.
A lot of Pro Bowls.
Yeah, and he only played for the Jets.
Right.
How about Brick?
Yeah, I don't know.
Those two guys were, you know, the foundation of the Rex Ryan Jets.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that's probably the organization with the fewest amount of dead guy patches and locally.
Would you think Bart Scott?
No, he's not getting a.
You don't think he would get his? You don't think he'd get a patch?
He might get. You know what he might get? Sticker.
A sticker on a helmet?
He might get a sticker on the helmet.
Like a little can't wait or something.
Yeah. That would be great. Like a little can't wait sticker helmet. Yeah, that'd be great.
You get a sticker.
Helmet sticker.
Yeah. What if they put a sticker on the back of the Bengals helmet?
Of course they will. They're not paying for the patch.
Oh, I'd be so mad. You know what? I would go say something to him. But like, old Boomer wanted was a patch, and you cheap bastards put that 7 sticker on the back of the helmet.
I forget what they did for PB, Paul Brown, when he passed away. I think we wore a patch. I think. I know for Dick Steinberg, I think we wore a patch for Dick Steinberg when he passed away, the Jet GM in 1994. I think that, I remember the
Well, that's
DS.
Like he took front office owners. I feel like they always feel obligated to do that.
But he wasn't here that all that long.
Islanders give Matt Martin a patch?
Oh, definitely he's patch-worthy.
Yeah, for the Islander organization.
I think like he, Clutterbuck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.